You are very welcome along to Breakfast with Peter Dunne podcast. Yeah.
Breakfast on Midlands 183 with thanks to Tullamore Credit Union's current account, tullamorecu.ie.
Are we ready to blag our way to our last World Cup?
It's been some journey, Peter. Absolutely.
Yeah. We do this?
Yeah.
Yes.
It all comes down to this
is right. Our last blagger's guide to World Cup 2022. A lot of people have been taking this very, very seriously, David. I got given out a few times when I was late with it, and people ended up in work and they weren't able to listen to it and blagged their way to the World Cup.
Quite rightly, yeah. Peter. You got to be on the ball with this.
You're
stuff.
Right. No pun intended.
Sorry.
So let's give the good people of the Midlands a couple of phrases, sentences that they can blag their way through the World Cup with. The final on Sunday. What time is kickoff, David? By the way, what time is kickoff on Sunday? Do you know?
Someone Madge was telling me there earlier this week it was 7 o'clock, but sure, I always knew it was 3, Peter.
Right. The public need to notice, David.
They don't.
They do need to notice.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Myself and David were talking off air the other day and I went, what time is the final Saturday? Is it 3? And David goes, no, it's 7. And I went, no, I'm going to miss it. I can't believe I'm going to miss it. And David insulted me down to the ground.
Insulted you? That's an exaggeration. Insulted me down to the ground.
And I got home and I said it to my wife. I said, I'm going to miss the final. And my wife, who's not head of sport in Midlands 103, by the way, said, but sure, the final's on a 3. And I went, is it? Really? And then we Googled and it was on a 3. And I was like, but our head of sport said it was on at 7. How could our head of sport get it wrong?
She's welcome to it, you know. I'll roll the red carpet out. I don't have to take this, Peter.
You're right. You don't. You're right.
I kind of do, I suppose.
A little bit. Yeah. Right, let's give the good people of the Midlands a couple of sentences you can blag your way to the World Cup with. The French goalkeeper, Hugo Lloris, I reckon he needs to be at his best if France are to win. What do you think?
Yeah, well, especially because when he's not at his best, he is an absolute liability. Mm-hmm. He is an unreliable goalkeeper, but has been, typically for France at least, very reliable. Apart, Peter, from the last World Cup final, which France admittedly won, and he lifted the trophy as captain, but he did pass the ball to an opposition player who scored a goal against Croatia. I think that game was 4-3 in the end, or 4-2.
Wow. Now, did you hear that?
He's a lunatic.
He is. And when he's good, he's great. When he's bad, he's really bad.
100%, like myself.
No, I would never say that, David.
Try to replace me with your wife.
Right, hit me with one.
Okay, Argentina against France on Sunday. Argentina lead the overall head-to-head record between these two nations.
Ah.
6 wins to France's 3. There have been 3 draws. They've had 2 World Cup games prior to 2018, and they met in 1978 and 1930. So history's a little bit irrelevant, I suppose, in that respect. I don't think their form in 1978 informs their form of today.
No, it's not going to affect them.
I don't know how anyone can use what I've just said there, other than to say Argentina have a better record against France.
I always laugh at that, you know what I mean, where teams have never lost away in Europe in like 40 years. And you go, but sure, them players are well gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're well gone. Nothing to do with them.
It doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Another line you could use is, it's amazing that France got to the final missing 7 big players.
7 big players.
7 big
seven
players.
Big, Pogba, Kante.
Benzema.
Pogba, oh, God, yeah. I always forget Benzema. They're the big
Kimpembe
three.
As well. Magnan. Nkunku as well. Lucas Hernandez. Yeah, Bayern Munich defender.
I'd say 4 big players by that count, because a few of them are peripheral. But no, like, I mean, they've definitely been missing some of their better players. Argentina, I don't think they've picked up a single injury throughout.
I think you're right, actually, yeah.
They're ticking along nicely. What about the 3rd, 4th place playoff? We have to give that a little shout.
Okay.
If anyone's looking for anything relevant to say about this, because I know it'll be on the tip of everyone's tongue before it kicks off.
Morocco, when does it kick off, David? Do you know? Or will I ask my wife?
Ah, come here. Just for the benefit of our listeners, it's on at 3 o'clock, and I'm standing by that. Morocco against Croatia. They actually played each other in this World Cup, and nothing happened. It was nil all.
Okay,
that's what I got.
God, I don't even remember that game. Wow.
Exactly. I remember people instantly saying afterwards, "Oh, we don't have to worry about either of those two sides going deep in the tournament."
Mm-hmm.
Here they are.
There you go. Final prediction, David.
Okay, I'll do you one better than that. I will say that the wonderful surge of Morocco will fail in the third, fourth place playoff. They're getting fourth. Croatia will bag third. And for the World Cup final, mm-hmm. I think Messi's going to do it.
Right. It's going to be a fairy tale, is it?
They've been getting better with every game, which I think mm-hmm. is an important dynamic to have. And France, they kind of always do just enough, but to be honest, I'm just straight up hoping that they don't do enough because Argentina have been a good bit more entertaining. What about you?
Yeah, I think France are too strong. I really do. Yeah. I think Argentina are very dodgy at the start. You know what I mean? But, because I threw a few quid on Argentina to win. And I kind of looked at it and I went, no, there's money I'll never see again. But, you know, they're coming good. At the same time, just think France are too strong. I think they're too strong.
They're very strong.
Yeah. They are. I'll go for France, although my heart says France, my wallet says Argentina.
Okay, let's bet my job on it. How about
cool.
that?
Cool, let's go for it.
No radio? It's fine. You can get the full show Monday to Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 9 on Midlands103.com, or you can download the free app from, I don't know, wherever you get your apps, I suppose.
Cameron, want to make a few bob?
Peter, that ridiculous question. I would love to make a few bob.
A little side hustle, as they call it.
Yeah, I'll take it. As long as it's legal.
Of course. Do you know what we're going to do?
Okay, tell me.
We're going to release a Christmas song.
Wow.
Me and you.
Yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
You going to write it?
Hey, here, I'll provide the music. You do the lyrics. Here you go. There's the music. Now you can sing along.
Okay. You got lyrics for me?
No.
Oh, what?
No, that's your department.
No, man, I'm the vocalist. I can't write lyrics.
Of course you can. Go on, give it a bash. I'm the producer. Here you go.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
I think somebody else already did that.
Oh.
You? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyway.
Right. Okay, that's it. Our band has split up.
Oh, no.
Right. Artistic differences.
Our first fight.
Yeah, because if you release a Christmas song, your quid's in. Mm-hmm. How much do you think the average artist in the top 10 of Christmas songs make?
In the top 10.
Yeah.
It's like we're talking Mariah Carey, mm-hmm. Michael Bublé.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah.
And is this like, is this their annual revenue?
Annual, yep. Annual revenue from one song.
Okay. So, all right, okay. I'm gonna take Mariah Carey's famous one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to think maybe like 500,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
You Googled this.
I did. Honest to God, I did not.
Oh, you must have.
Did I get it right?
You got it bang on. Fair play,
no
man.
No way.
Well done. $500,000 a year she makes for that
wow.
one song. Unreal, isn't it?
I truly swear I did not Google that.
Who do you think makes the most money? What song generates
the most money? I'm going to say Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé not even in the top 10.
What?
No.
Is it Wham?
Wham is... Yes, Wham is up here in... Let me see... Yeah, fifth place.
Not for... Okay.
Wham...
And it's not Mariah Carey?
No, not Mariah Carey.
Is it
actually, here's an interesting one about Wham, okay. by the way. George Michael and Wham, Last Christmas. They earn just under €400,000 a year from that song.
Wow.
But how much money has George Michael seen from that?
Oh, is Wham's two...
Yeah.
Two people. He's surely getting more. I'd say of the 400, he's getting 300.
No, he never received a penny for it.
What?
Because he donated all the royalties from that song to Food Aid.
Ah, good man, George.
Isn't he? It's like just when you thought you couldn't love George Michael anymore. There you go.
Right, so where is Mariah on the list?
Mariah is third on the list.
Third?
Yeah.
And she's $500,000.
Yeah.
Okay, what about the Pogues?
Yeah, the Pogues are number two.
Number two?
Raking in equally, just over $500,000. A year of worth of royalties from that song.
Number one.
What's number one?
I don't know.
It's Slade. Merry Christmas, everyone.
What?
Yeah.
But no way.
Do you know how much they earn a year?
Oh, well, over. I'm going to say 600.
Oh, higher than that.
Higher?
Higher than that.
Like, much higher?
Yep.
Okay, I might be going to, what, $1 million?
Just over €1 million
what?
A year in royalties. Noddy Holder, lead singer of Slade. He just sits... on a sofa all year, rubs his two hands together, checks his bank balance in January, and sure, everything is fine and dandy.
I'm telling what?
That's why we need a Christmas song. Go on, get singing, Cameron. Come on.
Dashing through the snow.
Somebody already did that.
No.
Yeah. It has to involve Christmas trees, Yeah, maybe a bit of snow, Christmas Day, presents, Santa, maybe a reindeer or something. Now, I've written half the song for you. Go on.
Dashing through the snow.
They already did that, Cameron. Goodness me.
A million.
Yeah, now, a million.
Okay, this might be controversial. I don't think Slade's Christmas song is in like the top five. I did not think it would be the first anyway.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Honourable mentions to E17 Stay Another Day, by the way. That's in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Quite surprised, actually.
Cliff Richards, Mistletoe and Wine, The Pretenders, 2,000 Miles.
What?
Actually features in there. Yeah, that's right. Stop the Cavalry, Jonah Louie.
Okay,
and Wonderful
enough,
Christmas
yeah.
Time,
yeah.
Paul McCartney. And yeah, there you go.
So we don't have... Oh my God. Mm. Michael Bublé is not...
Not even in the top 10.
That is baffling.
No. There you go.
I really thought Mariah would have been first.
Yeah, there you go. Slade.
Yeah, that's
over a million
bizarre.
I tell you, dude.
Man, Slade is living.
Mm, there you go. Anyway, one more chance. Here you go. Go on.
Dashing through the snow.
Cameron, good luck. Get out. Chat you at 9. Good luck.
Are you missing the music? Well, you can get the show in full weekday mornings from 6:30 a.m. on Midlands 103. Yeah, it's Feel Good Radio. Peter Dunne with you live from the vaults in Midlands 103, where we keep all our music and we discover the music behind the music. It's called sampling and it's absolutely everywhere. We've shown you loads of examples and there's loads more to come. Now, I'm here looking for two pieces of music that make up a song from Moby's album Play. Now, this album was absolutely huge when it was released back in 1998. It hit number one on the album charts in several countries, including Ireland. Now, one song we had to dig out before is called Woman to Woman by Joe Cocker, because it was used to make California Love by Tupac and Dr. Dre, but it was also used to make this Moby hit. You know it? Well, I'm also looking for an album on vinyl from 1960 called American Folk Songs for Children. Honestly, you wouldn't believe the extent of our library. Anyway, this song is called Sometimes, and it's by Bessie Jones. Sometime, better know the law. But this part here is the bit Moby used. Tell my honey, come back. Sometime I'm on a red back jack. Sometime I get a hump in my back. Sometime I'm going. Now, let's put the two of them together. Tell my honey, come back. Sometime I'm on a red back jack. Yeah, you know it. From the album Play, it's Moby with Honey, live from the vaults in Midlands 103. Tell my honey, come back. Sometime I'm on a red back jack. So all across the Midlands, there's been a lot of elves acting the maggot, up to naughty things in boys and girls' houses, in Lee Shoffley in Westmeath, and we want to get to the bottom of this. We want to find out why they're doing this, and we've been delighted to have the company of the Chief Elf on the Shelf Supervisor, Edward the Elf, and he joins us on the line right now. Edward, how are you?
Hello, is that you again? It is. You've nothing better to be doing, do you?
Well, look, people want answers, so it's up to me to ask the questions, Edward, you know, on their behalf.
Go on.
Okay, Ava and Brian in Athlone have an elf who took their pants from their drawers and decorated the Christmas tree with them. What do you have to say to that?
Here. Sure, the mother and father made a bags of that Christmas tree.
They were only
trying to make it look decent. You know what I mean? Sure, that's not...
Edward.
Seen better Christmas trees in summer.
Roisin and Burr has an elf who drew a pair of glasses on her face when she was asleep.
Well, look. Her parents are always saying to her, she can never find Anton. Every time she's missing something, she's coming to the parents looking for her. So if you ask me, the elf did her a favour. You know?
Okay, Amy, Mark and Ella in Kinnegad have an elf who gave their poor granddad a haircut. I mean, come on, Edward.
What? A haircut?
Yeah.
Come here to me. But did the elf get paid for it now?
No. The elf just shaved a bald patch into their poor granddad's head. come on, Edward. Edward, come on now. Edward, you're acting the maggot now. Come on.
A bald patch.
I can see where to get it from. Edward, right, okay, look, we leave it there. Here, have a very, very happy Christmas, and hope all them elves get back to the North Pole safe and sound, Edward. And hopefully when they're there, they won't be acting a maggot.
Good luck.
Mariah Carey, Midlands 103. That's for Adam Waite, who is 17 today. Happy birthday, Adam. Much love from Mam and Dad and Lee. That's for you. Have a great one. So many sleeps do we have left? We have 1, 2, 3, 4. Is it 4 sleeps? Is it? 4 sleeps till Christmas. Oh my goodness, that's scary. Christmas is so close. Wow. Are you getting a bonus this year for Christmas? Will your employer give you some, you know, cash in hand, maybe, you know, that's for yourself, or a voucher or something like that? Or will you get anything at all? Do you happen to work for Citadel or Citadel Securities? They're a hedge fund. Well, if you do, I am mad jealous, because employees that work for Citadel, they got whisked away to Disneyland for 3 days. I kid you not. So Ken Griffin is the owner of this hedge fund company, and he manages $59 billion in assets, okay? And rented out Disneyland for 3 days for the employees to have a party. Paid for absolutely everything, food, the full whack. Even flew some families in from New York, Houston, Paris, Zurich, and loads of other cities. Paid for the hotels, park tickets, and even managed to get Coldplay to perform for them. Carly Rae Jepsen as well, DJ Diplo. Unreal. What a Christmas bonus that was. I wonder, was it a tax write-off? We've a few million we need to get rid of. Right, okay. Oh, do you know what we'll do? Let's rent out Disneyland. Yeah. Dear Mr. Ken Griffin, there are now thousands of people across the Midlands who would really love to work for you. Dave texts in and said, I got a €5 voucher for the canteen. Yippee. Eve said, we all got company merchandise for our Christmas bonus. They're supposed to supply us anyways, but they made it out as a present. Our boss never does Christmas bonuses, but he'll bring us out for the night and pay for all the drinks. So the only bonus I got was a hangover on Sunday morning. Thanks, Brian.
Get this show in full Monday to Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 9 on Midlands 103.
Cameron, have a listen to this and let me know if you know what this is. Any ideas?
It sounds like people cheering.
Yep. Those are the scenes from Port Arlington last night when Argentina won the World Cup final.
Yeah.
That's only from Cameron's house, by the way. So congratulations, Cameron won the Midlands 103 sweepstakes, having drawn Argentina. And what was it like? Was it emotional for you, Cameron?
Peter, I was so nervous. I obviously watched I watched the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
And for about 75 minutes, Argentina looked like they were all over France. They looked like they were going to beat them very, very easily.
Mm-hmm.
The last 15 minutes, however, things turned around quite quickly and France scored 2 goals. Well, Mbappe scored 2 goals in the space of a minute. I was then terrified.
Mm-hmm.
For the last 9 minutes of the game, Argentina looked like they were exhausted, and I was sitting there watching like, I am going to have to listen to Will Faulkner tell me he beat me.
Yeah, it's not the money. It's having to listen to Will.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And then I believe it was the last minute in regulation, Messi had that shot outside the box, mm-hmm, where he drilled it at Lloris. In fairness to Lloris, he made a good save.
Yeah. And then there was the Martinez save as well from Coleman.
Yeah. Messi obviously scored an extra time. I was ecstatic. Jumped out of my seat. Very unlike me. And then France scored again. Went to penalties, and I was absolutely terrified because I thought Lloris would have done better. But by the time Argentina put their third penalty away, and France already missed one at that stage, I was fairly certain I had a beat. As soon as last penalty went in, I texted the newsroom group chat and bragged to my heart extent.
Yeah. It wouldn't be like you to brag.
No,
Cameron.
No. Well, look,
in fairness,
Peter,
you're a very humble person.
In fairness to Midlands 103, we did predict that this is how it was going to go.
Yeah,
if you saw our penalty shootout video from the weekend, we did also predict we'd go to penalty shootouts. We missed the score by 1 goal.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the final score between myself and Will was 5-2 to me, obviously.
Yeah.
Argentina.
So basically, for anybody who hasn't checked it out, please check it out. Go on to Facebook or Instagram. You'll see Cameron and Will Faulkner in a penalty shootout there at
fantastic
Tullamore FC.
Yeah.
And thanks for letting us use the facilities as well. And yeah, it was interesting looking at the penalties. Well, the thing I loved most about it was every time Will Faulkner missed a penalty. Have a listen to this, okay? Listen.
Ah, Jesus!
There you go. Every time Will missed a penalty. I have to say...
Which was a lot.
You took one penalty, Cameron, and you cracked it off the underside of the crossbar and in. And every goal looks better when it goes in over the crossbar.
Oh, yeah.
Under the crossbar.
Yeah. That's that's my 17-year-old soccer skills coming through.
How's the hamstrings this morning after all that?
Well, you know, a bit tired. It was hard work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anything for a win.
Yeah.
Especially a win over Will.
There you go. Yeah. So check it out on social media whenever you get a chance. It's a great video.
It is.
And it's a bit of crack. And hold on, let's see if I can get Cameron at the end. Hold on there.
Woo!
There you go.
Argentina winners. France are going home.
Now, so... Cameron predicted that. You would have been worth a fortune if you listened to Cameron
yesterday. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Get this show in full Monday to Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 9 on Midlands 103.
Ah, what a classic John Parr, St. Elmo's Fire, Midlands 103. Does your feel-good breakfast. Good morning. 083 3010 103 when you want to text or WhatsApp. Are you the possessor of a small baby at home? Have you once had a small baby? If so, you'll know where I'm coming from now. Lullabies with happy music are more effective at helping babies to sleep. There you go. So new research found the likes of Humpty Dumpty and Simple Simon were most effective than Little Bo Peep or Hey Diddle Diddle. Yeah. But the findings published in the Psychological Studies Journal report music is more effective than silence as it helps babies close their eyes as they become absorbed. Yeah. So remember, if you want to get baby to go to sleep, you have to play a little bit of this.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall.
There you go.
Humpty Dumpty had a great fall.
Fell.
King's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again.
Now, okay. When you are sleep deprived, when you have a child who won't sleep, when you have a child who's teething, who has you up half the night, I don't care what gets the child to sleep as long as the child sleeps. I don't care if it's this.
I'm a fire starter.
I will recite that in order to make that child go sleep so I can get precious hours sleep. Parents, you know where I'm coming from.
Breakfast with Peter Dunne on Midlands 103. Weekday mornings from 6:30 a.m. These are the highlights.
David, you're sitting down to a cup of tea.
Okay.
And you think to yourself, I'd love an old bicky, but I want a bicky that I can dunk into the tea. Which do you go for?
I don't drink tea. I don't dip biscuits into them.
What?
No.
What?
Sorry.
Get out.
Okay.
Get out.
See
you. Thank you. Thanks, David. Chat to you tonight. Why? How do you not dunk? That's why biscuits were invented, for dunking into tea.
I mean, I dunk them into coffee.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
I only respond to coffee, I'm afraid.
You dunk biscuits into coffee.
Absolutely. What's worse? How is that worse than dipping them into tea?
It just is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, who wants a coffee-flavoured biscuit anyways?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we'll go down your avenue. So
all right.
What, what
thank
biscuit
you.
Do you dunk into your coffee?
Okay, you're going to slaughter me for this, but I best tell the truth.
I never would.
I really like those fancy Italian biscotti biscuits you get in coffee shops. They're like a very sugary, brownish biscuit, and the coffee then infuses into the biscuit and becomes very delicious.
Becomes one with the biscuit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What is the primo biscuit? I presume you're going to tell me.
Oh, I am. Yeah. Well, scientists.
Okay.
Scientists have discovered, right? Okay. Because scientists are so busy lately. You know what I mean? They've loads on their plate. They decided to tackle What is the most dunkable biscuit for your tea?
Thank God they've put the work in here.
Yeah, honestly, you know, there's disease that's incurable around the world, but we're getting to the important parts.
Crucial. Come on, you're leaving me right on on a cliff's edge here. I need to know if I've been using the wrong biscuit all this time.
The most dunkable biscuit for your cup of tea is a hobnob.
Ah, yeah.
A hobnob. So it beats a digestive rich tea and shortbread. So the British Medical Journal reports that an oat biscuit has the best structural integrity, meaning it's less likely to quickly fall apart after dunking.
Well, I mean, like, there is nothing more upsetting than losing whatever you've dunked to the drink itself, and it flops into it, and you're like, oh, that's gross.
Yeah, and then you're trying to drink the end of it and not drink the bits. And
not great. So the hobnob for tea, the scientists didn't do any work on coffee for me, did they?
No, no mention of it here. Let me have a look. No mention of coffee here. But, you know, it's always open. So, you know, if you'd like to grab a few range of biscuits and sit down and have a few coffees, and we'll hear your report tomorrow. How's that?
Do some work for science.
Absolutely. Do some scientific work.
Okay, yeah, well, look, it's important work. Someone has to do it.
Yeah, there you go. And, well, actually, Peter Kay did this like 15 years ago or something, where he did a sketch about dunking biscuits into tea.
I mean,
he discovered this like 15, maybe it was 20 years ago even, that hobnobs steal half your tea. So when you dip a hobnob into your tea and it absorbs it all, and you take it out and then you look into your tea and you go, after drinking me brew. You know what I mean?
I think
it's taken scientists this long to come up with that.
Scientists should be talking to Peter Kay.
Absolutely. Now you have it.
Well, you're missing the music. You can get the show in full weekday mornings from 6:30 a.m. on Midlands 103.
Cameron, let's do this.
Oh, I love this.
This is Fantastic Facts. What they don't necessarily teach you in school, we will teach you here on Breakfast on Midlands 103. Sit down.
Very good for the dinner table.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When you go to a fancy dining party, you know, there's plenty of sophisticated fellows. You break out some of these facts, you are going to be the talk of the party.
Yeah, maybe not in a good way, but maybe when you go to the toilet, they'll all be giving out about you. You know what I mean?
But you'll have a big head after it.
Absolutely. Have you ever heard of Lunar Larry, by the way, Cameron?
Lunar Larry. I'm assuming it's something to do with the moon.
Kind of.
Okay, no, I haven't heard of Lunar Larry, I have to say.
Lunar Larry was the original name for Buzz Lightyear.
Oh.
Yeah, it wouldn't have taken off at all, wouldn't it? Lunar Larry.
No.
You know, Buzz. Like, Buzz is just... Plus, there was already a Buzz on the moon anyway, so...
Yeah, isn't that why he was named Buzz?
I'm pretty sure.
I think it was because of Buzz Aldridge.
Yeah. Barack Obama has read every Harry Potter book. Did you know that?
I didn't.
No.
Did you read
Harry Potter?
I didn't read Harry Potter. Okay. I've seen the movies. The books are far too large for me to read. I do like a good book, but not it would take too much of my time.
I'm kind of waiting until the kids are old enough to watch Harry Potter. Then I'll watch Harry Potter.
Do you know, I've only seen them myself for the first time in maybe the last 4 months.
And he goes,
very good. Yeah, they're very good. I was kind of, there was no reason I was holding off watching them, just didn't. But they're very good. I enjoyed them.
Nice one. Yeah. Did you know that there are over 2,000 species of bacteria living in your belly button?
That's disgusting.
It is absolutely rotten.
Thanks for that, Peter. Yeah,
you're welcome.
That was vile.
I hope our listeners are enjoying their breakfast as we speak. let's stick with that tone. Studies suggest that unmade beds are healthier for us than neat-made beds because bed bugs have a harder time surviving in messy beds.
Now, what?
There you go. Yeah. So there you go, kids. Good reason to not make your bed in the morning.
Oh, Peter, you have upset
bugs.
A lot of parents.
I have.
You can't
yes.
say that. I hate the look of a messy bed, I'm going to be honest. Mm. I have to make my bed every day.
Okay.
I can't stand it. It's very weird. I'll get home. If my bed is messy, even if I'm getting straight into bed, I will make it first and then get into bed.
Fair enough.
Yeah. It's weird, but don't like it. Don't like it.
Do you eat spicy foods, Cameron?
Yeah.
Well, if you eat spicy foods, then you're going to live longer.
Yeah.
There you go.
I am immortal.
Immortal, yeah. Because I like an old curry every so often. Let's stick with food. Eating broccoli can make your brain more powerful and sharpen your thinking.
Don't mind broccoli. Yeah. I can tolerate a bit of broccoli. I wouldn't eat it all that frequently. But don't mind having it in a bit of pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, yep.
Did you know, actually?
Must be why I'm so smart.
Oh, clever. Yeah. Really clever. We say it all the time here. Yeah. Do you know broccoli is a human invention?
What do you mean?
Broccoli is not a natural vegetable that grows in the ground. Broccoli
really?
Is man-made.
How do you know how it's made?
It's bred out of the wild cabbage plant called Brassica oleracea. No.
What?
It's not genetically modified or anything, but it's a human invention, broccoli.
Broccoli is a laboratory food.
Mind blown.
Yeah,
there
really?
You go. Yeah.
Must be why it's better than cabbage. Because, you know, I'm not mad about cabbage. I can eat a bit of cabbage, but...
Mm. Who'd win the fight between broccoli and cabbage?
Surely broccoli would if it's made from cabbage. Probably taking out all the weaknesses that cabbage has, like its disgusting smell.
Let's give you one more.
Okay.
The main rotor retaining nut in helicopters is often called the Jesus nut. Because if it were to fail in flight, the only thing left for you to do is pray to Jesus. Yeah, that's what it's called. The Jesus nut.
It's very dark.
Yeah, it is actually, isn't it? Yeah, there you go. Well, look, the more you know, the
good
more you
grow. Good note to end on as we approach
exactly.
Christmas. If your Jesus nut ever fails in your helicopter, you're screwed.
Yeah, just pray, yeah, and you'll be grand.